Welcome to Bethlehem Covenant Church's Sermon Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed as you listen to this message.
Good morning, Bethlehem Covenant Church. Thanks so much for joining us here on this June 9th. Hope you've had a wonderful week. We have had such a full week here at the church. From last Sunday night through Thursday night, we had five straight nights of Vacation Bible School here. Wonderful amount of kids came out. They learned, my wife and I, we did the Deep Sea Bible Adventures. So each night we taught them about a different person from the Bible. They had people doing Imagination Station, learning some neat kind of things, as well as sticky scriptures and games out on the front lawn. And it was just a great time. The final night on Thursday, we had Kona Ice snow cone truck out there, and our youth pastor got out the water balloons, so that made everything pretty fun on a warm night. But it was a great week. So thank you for your prayers. Hope you were able to come out and be a part of that, your kids be a part of that. We had, I think, 50-some volunteers, so thank you for everybody who helped with that. But I always love Vacation Bible School. But you know, when it's done, you're always a little relieved too, because it was a lot of work. It was a lot of energy. The kids have so much, but we had a great time. So thanks, everybody, and thanks to Pastor Jessica for leading that. She did a terrific job leading all of her team. We have a couple announcements here. One is, in the back of our church there, we have little prayer cards like this one for Trevor McCormick. And it shows his picture, his name, and then also just which camp he's going to go to at Covenant Cedars this summer. And there's even an address on there for the camp if you want to write him a little note or pray for him this summer as he goes off to camp, that the Lord would really work in his heart and life and he'd have a great time at camp. So this is a way for our church to be involved and all the kids we send to camp in the summer. And so if you would like, there's some cards in the back. Take one, pray for that kid, you can put this on your fridge at home or something, magnet up there, and it's all good. And then on Saturday, June 22nd, we're going to have a zoo day at Lincoln Zoo. I think the cost is $16 an adult, $14 for kids. You just buy your tickets there at the zoo gate entrance there. But then we're going to be over in the jungle, the secret jungle building, and we're going to have free train tickets for everybody and just a way to connect. We're going to be there from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Lincoln Zoo. Come join us, bring your family out, or just come walk along. It's a neat zoo, and have a chance to be together that day. And so that's coming up, another fun activity for our church family. All right, if you have your Bibles, we're going through the book of James this summer. So turn with me over to James chapter 3. As I look at verses 13 to 18 for us today, James 3, 13 to 18, and it says this: Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that come from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, don't boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and even demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace will reap a harvest of righteousness. So today we're going to talk about what true wisdom is, what it is and how we walk in it. Wisdom is something that is brought up a lot in the Bible, something that I am seeking out the older that I get. It's one thing to know stuff, book smarts. It's another thing to have wisdom, to walk in godly wisdom. And there are some great people in our church who have it. I like to hang around with them. I like to get their opinion on things. I like to hear them pray and hear what they pray for. I like to hear more about their life. As they share, I'm always learning something and able to see from a wiser perspective. To use a Star Wars reference, they are like Yoda to me, these people who know the Lord and have walked with him a long time. A great verse is Proverbs 9:10, where it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom." Today, our scripture in James says, "Who is wise among you?" And he's talking about two kinds of wisdom here, the wisdom of the world and the wisdom that comes from God, a wisdom and understanding that come from the Holy Spirit and seeking his will and his word. The great King Solomon in the Old Testament was honored because he asked God for wisdom and understanding to lead his nation. He was not so proud to think that he knew it all, but he was humble, and he knew he needed guidance from the Lord. So he asked God for wisdom. He didn't ask for riches or the death of his enemies, but he asked God for wisdom. And the Lord was impressed by this and blessed him not only with wisdom, but also wealth and peace to his nation, because God's wisdom leads to blessing. We can ask God for wisdom to lead our families, to raise our kids, to know the plans he has for us, or how to do church well, or what to even pray for. We can go to school for years and get all of these degrees and read a lot of books and sit under some of the best professors and know a lot of facts and maybe even get straight A's. But then we can get out into the real world and not know a clue of what we're really doing, right? We know this. We can be smart in the things that got us a degree, but a fool when it comes to life. We don't know who we are or what the main point of life is. We don't know how to talk with our neighbor. We can't find peace or purpose. We're smart, but not wise, right? I love how Warren Wiersbe said it. He said, "All of us know people who are very intelligent, perhaps even geniuses, and yet they're unable to carry out the simplest tasks of life." They can run computers and analyze data and solve huge statistical problems and tell you important historical dates and leaders and why they're significant, but they can't manage their own daily lives. Wisdom, you see, it's more than just being really smart. It's the daily stuff of life. The wisdom we're going to talk about today is the ability to apply God's eternal truths to our real daily life. It's a wisdom that can only come from a walk with God. And just a personal note here, I don't know about you, but I've always loved learning. And learning about things. I really do. I love figuring out, ever since I was a kid, how something works, you know? Or I love going to the zoo. I love watching and reading about all the different animals. I love looking into space through a telescope and hearing, you know, of how many light years away something is, you know? I love history. And studying about the past civilizations and how they did things. I love watching the news and listening to great minds discuss current issues and makes me think bigger about what's going on in the world. There is some love for learning, I think, that really does help with wisdom. But there's also a difference. For example, in seminary, we would have these professors and scholars who would come to speak And they were so stinking smart. They had studied for decades certain Bible words or chapters or books or history, and they had so many degrees behind their name. They would come and speak, and they sounded really impressive, you know, as they did. But something was missing. Like, what am I supposed to do with all of this stuff that you're trying to say? And I can't even understand it, right? I mean, they could parse all these Greek words and they would quote all of these scholars. But at the end of their sermon, I don't know what they said. Nor do I know if they believed or loved the Lord even. I couldn't tell, you know, or even how to apply any of what they said to my life. My point is that wisdom is different from knowledge. It's from God and not ourselves. It's like when I'm at the zoo and I'm reading all of these things within the gorilla exhibit that they've written, and some great scientific minds have spent lifetimes looking deep into things and studying things and have written about the origin of life and where our universe comes from and where humans have evolved from and how many zillion years ago everything, you know, began. And I'm reading it, and it sounds so smart. I can tell why everyone thinks it's just the way it is. But I know reading it, it's baloney. And I say that with humility and with respect, but we know the truth of the creation of things and where it all comes from. And this explanation, even though it sounds smart, it's denying a creator. And if you remove God and try to understand life or situation without it, it doesn't make sense. The wisdom, you see, we're talking about today, it comes from Him and a walk with Him. It's revealed by His Spirit through His Word, and it's relevant to our daily life. James is speaking about two kinds of wisdom, and that's what he means. There's a wisdom that comes from God and a wisdom of this world. The wisdom that comes from God leads to righteousness and peace and blessing and is found, upon truth. The wisdom of the world leads to confusion and chaos and hopelessness. And isn't that what we see in our world today? Even in our own hearts at times when we begin to start listening more to the wrong advice and following our own desires or these things, instead of turning to and seeking Jesus and being at peace with what He says. We do sometimes what we think is right and what everybody else tells us is the way, but it only leads to confusion and disorder and brokenness and further darkness. It's not the best way. God's way is truth and the best way in wisdom for you and me. Like Solomon, we need to pray for greater wisdom, for true wisdom that comes from Him, for the ability to not just know it, but also to apply that truth to our situation and daily life. Listen to what Solomon says in Proverbs 2, 1 to 10. He says, "My son or daughter, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it like you do silver and search for it like hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to the blameless and guards the course of the just. He protects the way of the faithful. In Him you will understand what is right, just, and fair, and know every good path. And wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul." Man, I want that. James, just like Solomon, is talking about a godly wisdom that comes from a daily walk with God. The Apostle Paul in the New Testament, he spoke about the same thing in 1 Corinthians 2, 6 through 16. And I'm just going to sum it up for you. But he said, we don't speak to you with the wisdom of this age or the words of some ruler or philosopher or teacher of this world. No, we come to you, he said, with God's wisdom, a mystery that had been hidden but has now been revealed in Jesus Christ and given to us by his Spirit. To the world it seems foolishness, but to us who are being saved, it is life. He says the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God, and makes them known to us. This is what we speak, he says, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit. He goes on to say that those of the world cannot accept these truths because they don't have the Spirit of God. But the person with the Spirit of God has been given the mind of Christ. This is true godly wisdom, not something from the world, but from the Holy Spirit shaping and giving us the mind of Christ, knowing the truth and how to walk in it. So Paul, just like James and just like Solomon, is talking about two kinds of wisdom, the wisdom of this world and the wisdom of God. And Paul is saying the people without Christ can't understand what you're going to understand. Godly wisdom comes from humility and a faith and a walk with Jesus. Solomon is saying you've got to seek out the Lord for this understanding. James is saying you've got to ask God for that which you don't know. And Paul is saying wisdom comes from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, is going to teach us everything we need to know for today. He's going to give us the mind of Christ. James is saying there are two kinds of wisdom, one that comes from God and one that comes from this world. Which one are we listening to most? And every day, in every situation, it can change, right? One moment I am tuned into the Spirit, and the next moment I'm operating in my flesh. One day I'm listening to God and trusting in His direction, and the next day I'm following the crowd or chasing after the things of this world. It's a daily thing to try and keep my mind on Him. There are three things I want to quickly draw your attention to. The first is this: the biblical concept of wisdom is God-centered and not me-centered. James talks here about a heavenly wisdom that comes out of humility, while worldly wisdom is driven by our ego and our selfish ambition, he says. What's in it for us? Worldly wisdom is me-centered. Godly wisdom is God-centered. Something that God has been teaching me in the last decade is how this world is so me-centered. We really do think the world revolves around us and that we're the most important thing. I think the God of today is definitely self. We want what we want, and we think everyone should cater to us. You know, I mean, I'm driving in my car and to the store, and I'm thinking, man, all these lights, why are they turning red? And these people are getting in my way, and don't they know I gotta be somewhere? You know, it's the world doesn't revolve around me. You know, we live our lives as we want and what we think is going to make us happy. We exalt our own personal fulfillment over what is best for others and what God has commanded of us. Even as Christians, we can begin to come to worship for what we get out of it instead of what we're here to bring to honor and bless our Lord. We begin to think that God is just here to improve and give us a better life instead of we here to obey and serve God. We flip it. We treat this life as if it were about us, self-centered instead of God-centered. But the more I've spent time in the Bible, the more I realize it's not about me. The Bible stories are not even about Abraham, Moses, David, Peter, Mary, or Paul. All of these people are just supporting actors in the real story, which is all about God. My life is not about me. It's about God. My job, my marriage, my day is not first about me and what I want or what's going to make me happy today. I exist for Him. This is not what you're going to hear from the world. From the world, you're going to hear that you matter most, what you think, what you want, what's going to make you happy, what you feel, what you believe. Be you. But we are not seated on the throne. Almighty God is. He is the one who always is and was and is to come. I am just a passing vapor, a fading flower. He's the one behind everything. He's at the center. You know, it's kind of like our planet revolves around the sun, not the other way around. So too in our life, we exist for Him, not the other way around. But it's so easy to flip-flop this. And most days I get super-duper self-focused and think it's all up to me or about me or my troubles or things I got to do or what I want and what makes me happy. And I forget that this isn't the true focus of my life. I will never see what truly is if I'm focused on me. True wisdom comes when we stop focusing on us and start focusing on the Lord. Only in Him can my life make any sense. Or can I learn even who I am and find that joy and peace and purpose? Wisdom comes from God being at the center. That's why Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom." The word fear does not mean being afraid of God. The word in this context means respecting, acknowledging, considering the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. Turning to the Lord, turning away from self or the popular opinions of the day and seeking Him first and looking differently upon your situation or life from His perspective. God told the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 55, verses 7 through 9, "Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and He'll have mercy. For your thoughts are not my thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts." So just try for a minute to imagine, how would your day go different if Christ was at the center? If His word was directing your thoughts rather than the latest blog post or news, how would you live? What would you be thinking about? What would matter? Biblical wisdom is God-centered, not man-centered. Second thing James says is, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by their good life, by their deeds done in humility." Biblical wisdom is more than head knowledge. It's the ability to apply God's truth to your daily life, to making breakfast, to tucking your kids into bed, to what you say to your wife, to how you love her as a husband, to how you treat your neighbor. God isn't interested in everything you know. He's interested in what you do. Jesus told the story of the wise and foolish builders. And in it, He said that the wise man who built his house on a rock, He went on to say it was the person who didn't just hear the word of the Lord, but also put it into practice. You know, we can all know the right thing to do, but only the truly wise one is the one who does it, even when it's hard, even when no one else is doing it, even when it requires sacrifice and change. James is all about faith put into practice. In school, sometimes we learn things just to get a good grade. We want the right answer to pass the test, but when the test is over, we forget it. It doesn't stick because we don't use it in our everyday life. That's why the show Who is Smarter Than a Fifth Grader is so funny, because we know we learned about George Washington's birthplace or what the name of the nine planets are, but we forget because we aren't using that information every day. Well, the same is true in our Christian faith. The reading of the Bible and doing our devotions and going to church, it's also very important to our life. But if you don't get up and live that truth out, it is gone as quickly as it came, and you forget it. The only way it means anything is when you choose to live the way that God is showing you to live. Then you come to see that it is the better way not to worry but to pray. It is the better way to forgive and not to hold on to bitterness. Wisdom is not quoting the verse. It's applying it. Some of the most profound wisdom that I have received in my life is not from my classes and seminary or books that I've read, but from people in the churches that I've served. The elder who never finished high school but came up to me in my first years of ministry and spoke words over me that have shaped the way that I look at how I do things, and God, who is sovereign over it all. Watching the way that he handled stress or dealt with conflict or faced cancer. These are the moments when I saw wisdom, didn't just hear good teaching. James is saying, who is wise among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from the wisdom of God. And then third and finally, I see in our verses that we're able to discern whether what we're hearing is godly wisdom or earthly wisdom. For James says, you'll see the different attitude and spirit and fruit of it. In verse 14 to 16, he says, earthly wisdom will be seen in bitter envy and selfish ambition and denying truth. We will know the difference, that it's not from God, but it is earthly, unspiritual, and even demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, he says, you'll find disorder and every evil practice. Earthly wisdom doesn't lead to heavenly outcomes. It only leads further down to sin, disorder, strife, and destined to fail. This is how we know the difference of what to believe and what not to. James is calling us to examine the fruit of that wisdom. So if someone is promoting themselves and is boasting, it's not from God. Don't listen. If the argument that they're sharing is driven by themselves or doing what they feel is good or what is best for you, it's not from God. Selfishness and arrogance and pride is never the wisdom of the Lord, but humility, meekness, servanthood, love is. This is the mind of Christ. If what we're hearing is denying the truth of God's word, goes against Scripture, it's not from God. If this teaching is bringing disorder to society or my life or throwing the world deeper into confusion and hatred and bitterness, it is not from God. Our God is a God of order, and his word is straightforward. It may be hard to obey, but it's not hard to understand. Anything that causes us to doubt God or his word or bring a spirit of confusion is not godly wisdom. The word earthly here means sensual and refers to following our desires, our feelings, instead of the truth. It's saying that this is not wisdom. What we feel, following pleasure, isn't always good for us. The wisdom of the world is different from God. God wants us to be happy, but in the right way. He also wants us to be holy. The word demonic that James uses here means against God. And I think this is the most obvious one that we can identify in our culture and world today. Things that are being taught as truth or how to live or what we believe, we can tell some of them are not God's wisdom, because the people who begin going down that path end up turning away from God and faith and not believing in him anymore. And turning away from the church and the Bible and even rejecting Christ. If we see these things, James is saying, look, that's evidence and proof that this so-called wisdom is not from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and even demonic. James says, if it's godly wisdom from God, from his spirit, you will know it, because first of all, it's going to be pure. You won't have to compromise your faith or values to follow it. It isn't calling you to sin, but calling you further into obedience and worship, to a holy life, to treating your wife better than you do, to loving your neighbor more, not less. If it is from God, it's calling you to greater humility, not being proud. If God wants you to do it, he's going to get the glory more than you. It's caring about the needy more than yourself. It's being a servant more than a master. James says, if it's from God, you're going to know it, because it's encouraging you to be a peacemaker and a mercy giver. That's how you'll know. James 2:3 says, in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and understanding. The Lord has much he wants to teach us. How we need him each day to know what to do. Sometimes it's tough to know the right thing. We need the Lord and God's word to help us find our way in life and the many different opinions that are out there. We need to refocus on Him as our center and not ourselves or something else. For He alone is God, and in Him we find eternal life. The wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, and sincere. It is the mind and the way of Jesus Christ. Have a wonderful Sunday. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To stay up to date with all of Bethlehem Covenant Church's information and events, head to bccwaverly.org.